Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, guests, to help you lead a more positively minded life. So today's going to be one of those days where we get a lot of you calling in as well, but I want to address this subject with you. I would say it was maybe 20 years ago I ran into Marilyn Ferguson. Marilyn Ferguson, who wrote The Aquarian Conspiracy, asked me a question when she met me. She said, "So Armand, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I thought it was such an interesting question. I remember I was feeling embarrassed when she asked. I hoped, because I was so impressed by her as a writer. I remember saying to myself, I hope I can say something that's really impressive. You know? And I thought about what I wanted to say to her to impress her, because I really didn't know where I was going to be in 5 years. Or I didn't have a plan for 5 years. But her question brought a lot of very important things to bear. She and a number of people I know ask this question a great deal. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Why do we ask that question? I ask that question to say to you that perhaps you would consider where you are today in light of where you want to be in the future. Where do you see yourself in 5 years, my friends? What's it going to be like? I remember one man who said to me, he was a very unhappy man, very unhappily married. I said, "Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" He said, "Less grief." So what he saw was a diminishing of grief, not an increase of joy. He thought there would be less pain, not an increase in joy. Well, maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? What's your plan? Now, should there be a plan? Or are plans foolish? There are a number of people who are always planning. There's a group of people who I consider to be, we call them the abstract random group, disorganized people, people who tend to be, they love to move around a great deal. They make a lot of plans. And they have plan after plan after plan, but they have no follow through. They have a plan, they do something at the beginning, and then they don't have follow through. So this is many plans. Is that the same as having no plans? If you have a plan, you could follow it. If you have too many plans, you can't follow it. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. So we're going to try to talk to you today about your plans, about what your plan is for your own future. And then I'm going to try to talk to you about what stops people from being able to make their plans for the future. What gets in your way? What has gotten in your way? You know, maybe it's about finding your identity, finding your self-identity, figuring out who you are, finding out what authentic living is. Maybe if you were to make a plan for yourself in 5 years, your plan would be, I want to be authentic. I want to be honest. I want to be truthful. I want to be living who I am. Now that's a question. What are you? Who are you? How can you live the authentic self? So we are finding your identity. It's a task that most adults face, because our true selves were squeezed out of us when we were kids. See, most people, when you're little, you have a real self. And then it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit the adults who are in charge. So they kind of squeeze it out. They shape it. We had to conform to some other self, other than our real self. Or we had to face the consequences, and we were just too small to face the consequences. So we conformed. And when we conformed, we mostly lost our natural selves in the process. Think about yourself. Think about the free, real you. Think about the you would like to be. I'll bet there's a you that would have the spirit of a you had when you were a young child. if you can imagine it, to feel free, to feel alive, to feel vibrant. But that part of you is almost not available anymore. How would we live in the future? What would it be like 5 years from now? It would be like being a joyful, honest being, caring about people, loving people, but, you know, being strong and holding your own, too. What's your goal? Where would you like to be in 5 years? Where would you like to be in 5 years in your relationship? Would you like to have a relationship where you hide from your partner, where they don't know who you are? Or do you want a relationship with somebody where they know exactly who you are? Do you want to unfold yourself? Do you want to show yourself to somebody? Do you want to bear yourself to somebody and say, I want a relationship with somebody who knows me absolutely, and I hold nothing back? Or I want a relationship with somebody who I manage, where I do hold back and I don't let them see me. What do you want? What's your goal? What's your chance here? What's your plan? Finding your own identity is very difficult, because the journey to it is filled with failures and successes. Finding your identity is a process with no real end point. You never finish the journey itself. Every time you find a part of yourself, another part of you becomes available to find. And we're going to talk about that today. But why is it so difficult? It's difficult because you got hurt when you were little, almost all of you. You've been betrayed, you've been terrified, you've been abused, you've had assaults on yourself, and your intellectual, your spiritual, your physical self have been assaulted. You have been told over and over again not to be who you are. That's why it's difficult to find where you are, because you're hiding. What does it take to come out? What does it take to find the natural you and bring it out? That's what we're going to talk about today, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Finding your identity is difficult because you hurt others, too. Let's face it. You've also betrayed friends, partners, family. Maybe you're even terrified and abuse them. Maybe you've been a part of the abuse. You know, I mean, if we had to admit it, we'd have to admit where we are and as part of that whole system. You know how families, how fallible humans are? They find their identity sometimes by hurting other people. And you, in your own way, you've been responsible for hurting people too. But we don't want to admit to that. We don't want to own up to that. So we hide that. And the more we hide, the less we are. Finding your identity is difficult because you watch the media and you see images of perfection too, you know. You think that you have to be perfect in many ways. You're worried about how your belly looks. You know, if somebody points out something, you worry about your appearance. Who are you? Oh, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I was lucky many years ago because I had some great teachers. One of my teachers that we had in common was a man, Carlos Castaneda and I trained with a very similar person, a person who was a character, who was a teacher. And from the book, The Path with a Heart, I'd like to read and editorialize some of what he calls A Path with a Heart, something I think that is very significant to you. And then we will take your calls and talk about this today, because I think this is important. Let's see now. All right, let's see now. I think we have it right here. Yes, I do. I do. I do want to put a little something in the background over this. Here we go. Here we go. Now look at this. Let's start with anything is one of a million paths. A path. What path should you take? Therefore, you must always keep in mind that a path is only a path. And if you should not follow it, If you feel you should not follow it, you shouldn't stay with it under any circumstances. If you get yourself on a road or on a job or doing something or a relationship that you shouldn't be on, somehow you got to get off it. Now, to have this kind of clarity, to know when to get off, you have to kind of seek a disciplined life. I don't say live a disciplined life. I say seek one. Why do you seek a disciplined life? Because somewhere you got to learn from your mistakes. And the discipline is saying to yourself, I did this in the past, and this is what I yielded, so I'm not going to do this in the future. If you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you always got. Only then will you know that the path is only a path, and there is no affront to oneself or to others in dropping it, if that's what your heart tells you to do. You're on that path, you're in that job, you're in that place, you're in that relationship. Get out if you have to. It's the best thing you could do. But your decision to keep on the path or to leave it has to be free of two things, and this is very difficult. It has to be free of fear, and it has to be free of ambition. Now, how can you say it has to be free of fear? You see, if you're leaving just because you're afraid, then maybe staying is the best thing for you, because why are you so afraid? Let's say you're afraid of getting close to somebody, and you say, oh, therefore my heart's telling me I should leave. No, in that case, you're leaving out of fear. That's a time to stay. So to distinguish, to be able to tell when you're afraid, that's very important. Because fear is a signal that you could grow at any given moment. When you feel frightened, it means there's an opportunity for you to kind of develop, to take the next step, to step up, you know what I mean? To take the high road, to face that fear. I warn you, my friends, look at every path closely and deliberately. Try it as many times as you think necessary. Then ask yourself and yourself alone this one huge question. Does this path have a heart? Is my heart on this path? All paths are the same. They go nowhere. Every ambition you have doesn't lead anywhere in particular. It's not that clear if you take this one path. Remember the rules of serendipity? The Prince of Serendip, you know, would travel. And he would say, you know, he sent his three sons out for different trips to go different places. And one was to go out and find gold and incense or something. And he came back with a wife instead. And another was to go out and find an army, and he wound up coming back with good friends. And serendipity, the word means serendipity, means that you find something along the way while you think you're searching for something else. So all of these paths that we seek, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a fireman, I want to be, all of these things, they don't go anywhere in particular. However, they'll go through the bush, they'll go into the bush. In my own life, I could say I've been through so many different paths, but it didn't take me anywhere. They just took me to a next path. So the question becomes, my friends, great meaning, does the path have a heart? How do you know? The path with a heart makes you stronger. The other one weakens you. If you're in a relationship with somebody and that's not good for you, it has no heart, you become sick from it. You become weakened by it. The path with a heart makes you stronger. The trouble is nobody asks the question. And when a person finally realizes that they've taken a path without a heart, the path is ready to kill them. By the time you discover, oh my God, what have I been doing? You're almost gone. At that point, very few people stop to deliberate and leave the path because they get narcotized, they get stoned, they get lost in this dull place of life. A path without a heart is never enjoyable. You have to work hard even to take it. On the other hand, a path with a heart, it's easy. It does not make you work at lying, at liking it. You feel love when you're in that path. When you're doing that thing, when you're on that road, you can feel it. The path with the heart is very present. For my part, there is only traveling on paths that have a heart. On any path that may have a heart. And there, my friend, I travel. And the only worthwhile challenge is to take it the full length. Because there, on every path, I travel, looking breathlessly. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. That was Carlos Castaneda from A Path with a Heart. I'll be back with you in just a minute. What about you, my friends? Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille talking to you about your ambitions, your goals, what you see as your future, and what it's like to try to sort through it. I mean, do we have to have a reason for being, raison d'être, you know? Do we have to have it? Is there got to be a purpose there? Does life have a meaning? Funny thing about depressed people, you know, depressed people all say the same thing. Life has no meaning. My life has no meaning. Whenever you hear those words, as a clinician, as a shrink, whenever I hear those words, I say, ah, a depressed person. But the truth of it is there a meaning to your life? Is there some reason for you being there? Is it just for your kids? Is that the idea? Is the idea that you're supposed to have children and then you're supposed to just pass on whatever you do to children and then go off and die? Is that your purpose? How primitive? How lizard-like? Is that your whole reason? Or is there something else that you do around here? Well, I think you all do a lot. I think I've listened to some of you out there, and I think you're great teachers. 212-209-2900. I want to hear from you today. We're going to take quite a few calls today because I want to talk to you about your ambition and your goals. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hi, my name is Vincent Armand.
Hello, Vincent Armand.
How are you?
Good.
I actually called because I fell in love with this song that you played on Thursday, that opera song.
Oh, yes.
Oh, something Bambino?
Yep.
What was the name of that song?
Oh, Mi Caro Bambino. Hold on a second. We're going to look it up for you. And it was sung by Renata Tibaldi, and it's about her father.
Renata?
Renata Tibaldi, T-A-B-A-L-D-I. Let me just read it to you. Hold on, my engineer here. It was Oh Mio Bambino Caro. Oh, Bambino Caro. You could just look that up on the internet, and it'll pop up on you. But if you see Renata Tibaldi singing it, it's my favorite version of it.
Oh, thank you, Armand.
It is my pleasure to share that with you, because that really touches my heart, and obviously it touches yours. What's your goal? What do you do with your life?
Well, I work for the city, Armand, and I believe I've always been on a path. I just had surgery 3 months ago. I lost 30% of my kidney. I had a little mass on my kidney. It wasn't exactly, it wasn't cancer. Thank God for that. And I lost my adrenal gland. Apparently, I had a second adrenal gland growing out of my adrenal gland. So they had to take that completely out. I'm 59 years old. I work for the Housing Authority. And I've always believed I was on a path, you know, going in a forward direction, trying to make better decisions for my life.
Other people's lives? Don't you have a lot to do with other people's lives as well?
Of course, Armand.
You do. You're very active in your involvement with people, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
What do you do? How are you actively involved in helping people?
I just help people in everyday lives. I mean, I would love to volunteer, but I actually, you know, with my health problems and all, I never really got out to actually volunteer. But I have many friends, and I help them in any way I can. I'm always there for my friends. I'm a very social person, and I like connecting.
Mm-hmm.
I like connecting with people, and I like helping people. I'm always helping people, and I feel the love back. I really do. I feel the love back.
There it is. There's that path, Vincent. You know, that's exactly the path you're talking about. If you can have that. If you could share that, if you could bounce off people and they bounce back to you, the love they bounce back, it's a beautiful thing.
It is, Armand. And I listen to you every day. I get so much from you. I mean, you just fit perfectly in my life, you know?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really grateful that we have this and that WBAI and Pacifica has allowed us so much space to do it, you know, to be able to be on with you on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. It's really quite beautiful to be able to put this out there. And now we hear from the entire world who's been downloading the programs. People all around the globe have been just sending back showers of gratitude for the work that you all, not just me, but you listeners as well, do with me. Because people love to hear us engage with each other, you know?
I know. It's so amazing.
Thank you, Vincent. Thank you so much for calling in.
Armand, can I give a shout-out to my coworker Rita?
Rita, sure. Rita.
Yeah, she's a nice woman.
And Rita's listening to the program today?
Yes, she is. She works with me, and we listen every day.
Rita, wherever you are, you're a lucky person to have a Vincent in your life, and my heart goes out to you personally.
Thank you so much, Armand.
Sure. Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. What exquisite people. You know, that's part of what happens here. If you ever listen to this program, there's a funny thing that happens. There are no bad people. When you hear, you know, you hear crackpots who call up different stations and they want to do different destructive things. There's mostly beauty here. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Armand.
Good afternoon.
My name is Steven. I'm from New Jersey.
Hello, Steven. You sound like you're in pain.
Yeah, I'm in pain. I mean, I know what my goal is, which is peace and serenity. And I know what's getting in the way. It resonated what you said a few minutes ago about being on a path you don't want to be on, you need to get off.
What is your path that you're on that you need to get off?
Stock trading.
Uh-huh. Are you doing... Are you Stephen, who I'm familiar with?
No.
Let me see. Have you recently been shorting the market?
No.
No. Okay. Stock trading.
Gambling.
Mm-hmm. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. I used to be a trader, by the way, many years ago, 20 years ago, when I was earning my way into Wall Street. I saw the game, and I got into it, and I saw it, and I said, it's exactly what you said. It's just gambling. It's gambling. So you got yourself trapped in it, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm trapped in it, and
it's a compulsion, but it's stopping something else in you. And here's what I'm going to ask you about, all right?
Yeah.
I want to know where your father was when you were a kid.
Well, he was there, but he was not there because...
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Tell me why he wasn't there.
Because my mother, rest in peace, drove him insane. And he, you know, he couldn't, he just didn't, wasn't able to show love to me because he had basically had to fend off my mother.
So, Stephen, you lost your father because you had a mom who was behaving in ways that separated you from your dad, and you are a lost kid. You're like an orphan because you had no mother because she wasn't mothering you very much, and you had no father because he had to stay away, so you're an orphan. Stephen, the orphan, gets out into the world and says, how am I going to get through? How am I going to survive? Maybe I'll win at the game. I'll gamble. And maybe if I take a shot, even if I risk my life, maybe I'll win. It makes all the sense in the world that you would be a gambler. Why not? What do you got to lose? Your life? You lost that when you were a kid. So, of course, the compulsion is attractive to you. Of course it is.
Yeah.
I wish I could hold you. I wish I could put my arms around you and just hug you and say, Stephen, I'm so sorry they didn't treat you well.
Well, you know, I really appreciate that insight, Armand. I never really thought about it in quite those terms, but you're right. And the only way I can, right myself is to get off the path, right?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. You know, sometimes it looks like that. It looks like, you know, you got to just cut and run.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. Maybe not. You ever get a chance? You know, it's probably a little too big for us to do right now, but I would be really curious about what it would be like to see the absolute primitive you, the most primitive you, the most angry you, involved in some kind of, while you're doing stock trading. I mean, I would combine it. If I were your therapist, I would take you into the most primitive self in the stock trading mode to discover where the real energy is behind that. Because I imagine that there is some powerful being inside of you that's involved in this. So before I extract you, before I take you out of it and say don't do it, I want to locate your power first. I want to isolate your power, and I want to use your power for your own well-being before we take you away from your addiction. That's what I would look to do. And if you need help doing that, you email me, and we'll try to find a way to get that to happen.
Okay, I'll do that, Armand. I appreciate it.
I look forward to talking to you again, Stephen.
All right, thanks a lot.
Sure. See, all those things that we do that we consider that disempower us, all those addictions, all of those things, they all have power in them, mind you. If you're a cigarette smoker, there's a power in that cigarette. If you're a marijuana smoker, you know, habitually, there's power in that marijuana. Before you take these things away, before you strip yourself, if you're an overeater, you're eating at your own speed. You're doing it your way. We want to find the power and pull the power out, isolate it, and then turn it around and use it a different way. We don't want to strip you of your power, because that's what they think. Everybody thinks the way to treat addiction is to just take the addiction away completely. Well, then you wind up with a powerless person. What good is that? And what are they going to do? They're going to go find power some other way. So my bet is on every one of these things, especially with someone like Stephen, isolate the power, locate the power, pull the power out, put it aside, dump the addiction, but keep the power. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to be taking many more of your calls today at 212-209-2900. But before we do, we're going to take a break, and I guess I'm going to have to play you one of the prettiest pieces of music in the entire world. Oh, there's so many pretty pieces of music here. But, you know, there's one that I haven't played for a while. Yeah, you're going to have to get it. You're going to have to tolerate me for 4 minutes of exquisite, exquisite. Get ready for tears. Get ready for the most beautiful thing. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, my special gift of music called Etude, and then we'll continue our program. I'll be back with you in just a couple of seconds. Oldfield. Mike Oldfield, many years ago. The Killing Fields was the name of the movie that it came from, and the song was Etudes. Oh, it touches me. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You know, we did a survey, and we asked people, how would you like this program? You know, I asked people to send back. I said, do you like it best when I have co-hosts? Do you like it better when I have guests? Do you like it better when we have just callers? Or when I'm just by myself and talking? Or what do you think of the music? Do you like the music or not? Let's do the survey on the music was the following. Whereas when I did this survey 7 years ago, most people said they would rather not have the musical break because they were listening to a talk show. And when they're listening to a talk show, they don't need to hear music in the middle. But as of this last survey, not one person said do away with the music. They said you gotta play your music because your music primes me for the program and whatever you do. So I become a better disc jockey, I think. 212-209-2900. We are talking about finding a path with a heart, trying to find your direction in life and where you are. And I've been talking about some of the damages that people have gone through that really takes away your direction. And how easy it is to understand how people go astray. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, Armand.
Hello.
Hi, this is Gina calling from Brooklyn.
Hello, Gina.
Yeah, right now my goal is my business. Everything is focused, everything is putting into my business, and the recession is just killing me.
Okay, now well, let's back this up. Your goal is not your business. Your interim goal is to get your business working.
Right.
You want your business
you
to work
it.
So that you could earn money doing
yes.
something you like doing.
Are you psychic?
No, I'm just silly. Okay, so let's say you just want to earn enough money to do doing something you like doing. Now tell me what it is that
exactly.
you like doing. What is it, you make ribbons?
No, actually, it's a very, I'm sure you've never heard of it. I'm a salsa instructor. We offer salsa massage. Salsa massage and online salsa instruction.
Okay.
So basically, we videotape the classes. People.
Okay.
Can watch
so now you're doing this because number one, you're a musical person. Number
yeah, I come
two,
from a musical
number
family,
two,
yeah.
you've always been very. You've always found that people's response to you is an important thing. And you kind of have a certain pride in the way you look and the way you move. You're like a live animal, you know. You're like a leopard that's in the jungle.
Well, I am a fire sign. So
that's what I would imagine. Yes. So I would imagine that there's this part of you that wants to give with people on a level where you could exchange something beautiful for them in a physical way, as well as you know at the same time keeping yourself going. But now let's take that down another step. Let's say that that were completely successful, and
right.
let's say that you got a lot of money from it, and then eBay came along and
yeah.
said, I want to buy your business. We'll give you $5 million, but you can't do it anymore.
It
and
would never
said,
happen.
You said, okay, sold to you. Now what do you do?
I couldn't do that. You know, I got to tell you, I've had offers for people to help me. I had an old friend that I grew up with who wanted to open a studio and have me run it. And I would be fully capable of running the whole show, but he would be kind of the financial aspect of it.
Okay,
but I told him.
You just uncovered another thing. You have great difficulty with your father. I hear it. Your authority, your father was an authoritarian father?
Yes, he was.
I hear.
Sure. He's Italian, yeah.
You know, that doesn't make him automatically authoritarian. But your father was an authoritarian father, and that made it very difficult for you. So you're at war with him. All the time trying to maintain your integrity.
Well, actually, he passed about 14 years ago,
but he didn't
yeah.
pass very far. He's buried in your brain
well,
somewhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, my father, he was also a dancer, and my parents were actually the first team to bring Mambo over to Europe back in the early 50s. So the dancing and the artistry has been part of my family since, you know, I was born, basically.
Okay, so Gina, you have many mixed things going on here.
I have, you know, that's actually
there
what
is
I'm
so much
having
mixed
difficulty
stuff
with, because I feel like I have so many goals, and even though they're interrelated, it's very hard to find a way to connect them and also make them prosper at the
let
same
me tell
time.
You, let me tell you what a problem is here, Gina. The problem is you have a lot of ghosts, not just goals. You have ghosts. You have ghosts of pain that are running through your ambition. And so there's stuff related to your father and your mother and competing with your mother. There's stuff related to your authoritarian father that gets involved in here. There's stuff related to your whole idea of being a dependent child and hating dependency in any way. There's also
right.
stuff related here about why you can't make your current relationships work because there's a part of you that is just being so tough. There's a lot of mixed stuff in here. And when these ghosts whisk around like this, they take the steam out of your ambition. They take the steam out of your stuff. You got to get to the bottom of you before
well,
you get
what,
to the
you know
bottom
what?
Of your
I'll
business.
Tell you something. I'll tell you something. There's no way, and I know this, that my business can succeed until all of that is, you know, comes to a head. And that's kind of, I think, what I'm going through now. Currently, I've canceled my group classes, and I've really just, the past 3.5 years, I've been working like an animal. Everyone that sees me, they're like, is there anything you don't do? I'm always out handing out flyers, always working, to the point where I just said, you know what, the recession and that the effects on the business,
okay, so Gina,
I needed to take time for,
sure. So
for
how are
kind
you,
of reflection,
how are you, finding,
you know
how
what
you,
I mean?
Yes, how are you going to find your soul? How are you going to find it? How are you going to find out who
well,
Gina
what
is?
I'm doing, what I do, I meditate every day. I meditate.
That's somewhat
I'm
helpful.
I'm reading a lot.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to spend a lot. I've been writing in my journal more because the interesting thing is I said, if anyone ever picked up my journal, they would think I had a rotten life. Because
sure.
The only time I really journal is when I'm really having difficult times, when I'm really feeling the need, like, there's stuff in me that needs to come out, or I'm not going to be
right.
able to be positive.
It's beautiful that you have that vehicle.
Yeah, I
it's
try to.
It's beautiful, and
you know,
you're working
I try
on yourself,
to find,
Gina. You know, terrific stuff.
I'm working hard. I'm working hard, but you know, it's a never-ending process, and it would be nice to have some kind of positive resolution. I just feel like it's struggle, but I don't really feel like I've had many victories
yet. Yeah, because you're looking in the wrong place, you see.
Well, where should I look? I've been
unfortunately,
digging in me for a
to,
long
wait,
time.
You have to stop talking for a moment. Okay?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. You have to look inside at a different level than you're looking. You have to look inside to the early pain. And you have to challenge it. You have to find somebody who's strong enough to get past your mask. You see, you have a way of waving your hands so that people don't see you. You have to get somebody who sees underneath this to see the real Gina.
There's nobody there to do that. Honestly,
wait
there's
a minute,
nobody.
Wait a minute, Gina.
There really isn't.
But you're talking to somebody who sees
okay.
you.
Okay.
So if I could see you, I'm sure there are many people who do. It's just whether you want to believe that they do or not, you know. So listen, there's work to be done, and you're in the path. If you want to send me an email, I'll give you some direction back. Happy to do it.
Right.
Because we got to get your salsa off the ground here.
We have to, you know. I'm really good.
I'm sure you are. It's good to talk to you. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks so much, Armand.
Sure. Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. So that's what happens to a lot of people. They get caught in the frenzy of doing. And when you get caught in the frenzy of doing, you really get lost because in order to find yourself, I know this is going to sound like a cliche, you have to get into the frenzy of being. You have to be yourself instead of just doing yourself. You have to find that somewhere. Not easy, but it's all very, very possible. And meditation does help. And meanwhile, other work does help, but it's really trying to find that direction inside. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
My name is Sue, and a couple of things. I called to talk about the topic, but before I do, I want to just share that the title of the aria is O Mio Bambino Caro, not Bambino.
Oh, Bambino means daddy, father.
Right, Babbo, right. Father, Bambino is in daddy.
Thank you. Do you sing opera?
I do.
I thought so.
Yeah. How could you
Could you sing me the first five notes?
Only five?
Yeah, the first five.
Okay, here it goes. Oh, mio bambino caro.
Boy, you do sing. How did I know that?
I don't know. How did you?
How did I know that? How did I know that? I could just... So your favorite of all the operas, Turandot?
I do. I love it.
I know. I could,
I love it.
I could hear that in your voice.
Oh, thank you. So
no, you're Lou. You're not talking about, you're Lou herself.
Thank you. Yeah. What a nice compliment. So now I have to learn the role.
Well, you could just give me one part of that you could think of.
Oh, from Durandal?
Yeah.
I don't know it. I never sang it. Yeah. I never learned it.
It's all yours.
Okay.
Beautiful. So let me get, so thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Soon we share this.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what about you?
Well, what about Sue? Why is Sue
what
calling?
About, yeah.
Is Sue calling to tell me about the opera? Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I wanted Vincent to have that. About me. Well, yesterday, I actually, for the very first time, I have a new therapist. And I talked about something that happened when I was a child, a couple of things with my father. I have issues with both my father and my mother. Like the woman just before. But my mother is the authoritarian, and my dad was the musician, the god that I looked up to, and, you know, I just thought he was a terrific, he was very talented, and I could never really be what he could be, and he let me know that very clearly in many ways. Yesterday I went through some, a memory of him telling, a friend of his who was a school teacher in front of me. I was a little kid, maybe 8 years old, that the teachers say that, she doesn't live up to her potential. And I realized in the session that I felt very embarrassed by that and very, very hopeless because I didn't know how to live up to my potential or what that even meant.
Boy, you know, Sue, you bring up such an important point. I can't tell you how many kids have heard that. You know, how many kids hear that they doesn't live up to his potential. What a shaming thing to say to a child.
Exactly.
What do you mean live up to your potential? I mean, we know your potential, and you're not living up to our standard of your potential? I'm so sorry, Sue. I want to slap your dad. What a terrible thing to do to you.
It was. And as a result, I realize the reason I don't sing as much as I should, like every day, in every way, and everywhere, is because I am ashamed of myself. I don't want people to look at me. I don't really fear judgment so much because I usually get good feedback. You know, people like what I do. And they say, oh, where are you going to be next? We want to come hear you. And I say, I don't know, because I don't parlay it. I just kind of get through the event, and then I'm just wiped out from it, and I don't do anything for 5 years.
You're a very sensitive person.
Highly sensitive. And I don't make any money. I'm beyond being an under-earner.
Mm-hmm.
But
you sing, don't you?
Sometimes.
You do sing.
I do, yeah, I do sing.
You think I could get maybe 10 notes?
From
anything you want to give me.
Wow.
I don't want to make it too confusing for you.
No, I have to come up with something.
Okay, then go back to Bambino.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, mio bambino. I want to start it higher. Oh, mio bambino caro. Mi piace in bella bella. There.
Exquisite.
Yeah?
Exquisite. Exquisite.
Oh.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Hey, Sue,
so
you know what? If you do me a favor one day, cut me a little CD and send it on my way, and I'll play it on air.
Oh, okay.
How would you like to do that?
Yeah.
I'd love to just have, get me a few of my little Turandot spots.
Mm.
Okay?
I have homework.
You have a homework.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeVille. What talent. Oh, my God. I wish I could sing like that. Hi, you're on the air. Hi there. This is Armand DeVille.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Armand. I wanted to talk with you about your pathways. I'm in a relationship now, and it doesn't seem I need to be on that path, but I just can't seem to let go.
Yeah, okay, so it must be some kind of an addiction. Tell me about your path.
Well, I'm seeing somebody long distance, and he just doesn't seem to give me, you know, he doesn't make me feel special. He doesn't call me, and you know, it's the on-again-off-again thing because he's from Europe and I'm from the U.S.
Yeah, so people get involved in those kind of things because they want to get a drama. See, this is a wonderful drama if you think about this. Here you have this kind of make-believe relationship. Two people in different continents talking to each other, insisting that they treat each other, that they behave differently than they do. You want him to be different. He wants you to be different. This is a drama about nothing. It's a drama about two people making believe they're in a relationship. So it's not real. And when it says anyone is one of a, you know, any path is not real, this is one of those not real paths. Relationships that are not real, and many people have them, become an easy place to displace all of your stuff. You throw it all in that basket. Oh, my relationship. Oh, my husband. Oh, my wife. Oh, this or that. It's all about nothing. What you really got to find is where you are and where your heart really is outside of relationship. Because relationship becomes like a trap. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It just becomes silly to keep going over it over and over and over again. It has no meaning whatsoever.
And I guess that was amplified because it got me out of another relationship.
That's right.
To move on from another relationship.
That's the way addictions work. They do work like that. You get one addiction, replaces another addiction, replaces another one. So you sound like you're just trying to develop yourself and move on. What's your name again?
Angela.
Angela?
Mm-hmm.
Angela, you sound like you're on the move. So when are you going to move away from this one and start with your next goal in life, which doesn't have to do with relationships? What are you going to do with your life for the next 5 years?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Everything's really upside down. You know, I'm unemployed, and I'm going through changes, and it's like, where am I going? What am I doing?
Well, I'll tell you where you're going, all right? Your mm-hmm. goal for the next 5 years is to teach. You're articulate. You're intelligent. You have a good command. You have power. I can hear behind your voice. You need to be a teacher. And what you need to teach is teach people how to be peaceful. You need to teach people what love is about. And you could do that through volunteer services. I would like to see Angela, the beautiful angel, you know, this angel Angela, come descend on people and give her some of the beauty that you've got, whether or not you get paid for it. Because if you unfold that power, if you take your wings and you open them up, you're going to be given to people and you're going to feel real meaning in your life. So get thee to a volunteer program. Get
okay.
thee to any place where you could be giving and giving selflessly. Now, from there, you will find opportunity. But start off in a volunteer program. You got a lot of stuff to give.
I appreciate that.
I sure, and I'm really glad you're with me. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you.
Sure. Well, this is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of our time. So I'm going to have to play something from Gleb. Who is Gleb? You ask me, who is Gleb? Gleb from Germany, one of our favorite tenor saxophonists, sent us a wonderful piece, which I'll play for you on the way out the door. I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Thank you so much for being with me today. And here, send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com. And you can get today's program on WBAI.org, my friends.